to others. Let the seed of faith be grasped so that it can continually be passed from generation to generation. Raise up faith in the younger ones, Lord God. Raise up steadfastness and preparedness in the older ones, Lord God, that we can outlive who you are and what you are and be examples to others. I pray for Phil, Jared, Ross, and Pastor Ryan, that you anoint them right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Jill. And Jared and Ross, if you could come up. And Jill, if you could give them that microphone there, that would be really good too. Just a couple of things that we need to say before we start. One is that we've got Ross and Jared Wilson up here, but we could have used Seth Clement. We could have used his good wife, Kieran. They could be up here too. And we could talk about basically the same things with them. We could take Ross's wife, Linda. There were a lot of Lindas at my place yesterday, and she was one of them. But the fact of the matter is that all of these folks, anyone, and there are others that are here today, the Minch family, could also illustrate what we're going to illustrate. What we are illustrating is some people might look at and say, oh, wow, they're just blowing off steam. They're just, they're being prideful. We want to tell you that the things that we're going to talk about today, we are able to talk about because of the grace of God and nothing else. And so when you're talking about the grace of God and what he's done in your life, you're not being prideful. You're merely giving God the grace, the thanks and the praise that are due to his holy name. And we're actually using people who come from generations of believers. They're not prideful about the fact that they come from generation after generation after generation of believers. They're not prideful about that at all. That's the grace of God we're talking about. The third thing that I just want to say is that it may be that you're the first generation in your family line to be a believer. Well, when we became citizens of the United States, the person that was convening the ceremony on July 4th of that year, we were given our papers by Sons and Daughters of the Revolution. And one of the things that they said to us was this, or that the guy who was the convener of the whole thing down there at the convention center, he said this: you are as much an American as any of these Sons and Daughters of the Revolution. And that's how much more so in the family of God. How much more so in the family of God that whether you have a whakapapa which goes back years and years and years, or whether you're the first generation, the grace of God is fresh and new every morning. So do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. The last thing that I want to say before I just came to my attention, that I believe that this series that Pastor Ryan is speaking on is really important. It's about a covenant-making God. It's about a God who's, if you like, covenanted with himself through his Son, Christ Jesus. And when you're talking about the Godhead who cannot lie, all right? God is not a man that he should lie. And so they have made a covenant within themselves. Christ is the mediator of this new covenant, which we are invited to live in. And so we are saved. And the word is true, the word is good, it's authentic, it has integrity, it has power, it has authority in our lives. We need to understand this. Yesterday, my brother over here that's just behind Josh there, good, I'm glad you're out of the way because now I can see him properly. My brother yesterday was with some people. You spoke with them in the morning and they were dead by the afternoon, right? They were dead by the afternoon. That's how important these things are. There's no such thing, when we're talking about these things, as a unimportant or light word. It can be over that quick. And it's by the grace of God that we're brought into fellowship with him and made new in Christ Jesus. We're not being prideful in saying that. That we have new life in Christ. We're not being prideful. It's a gift. Oh my. Take hold of that gift today. And make it appropriate in your life. So that you are able, as you will learn as time goes by this morning, you'll learn of the blessing and grace of God that is for you, for your children, for your children's children, and for those that are afar off. Yeah. All right. These things are important. Tell us about it.
All right. Well, my family is from a long heritage of living in New Zealand, about five or six generations. And they, my great-great-grandfather came out from England as a non-conformist, as a man who believed in God and didn't want to hang around in England because of what they were doing. And so they left and came to settle in New Zealand, and they farmed, they broke in the land. So I knew my great-grandfather, and he was a man of God as well. My grandfather, his son, he became a minister in the church, the Apostolic Church in New Zealand. And my father, who's been here and ministered as well, he's also. So we have a long heritage of believing in God throughout our generations.
It's a bit emotional up here at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's sort of interfering with thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's just go over to Jared while you're capturing your thoughts. Jared, when your dad talks about, and I just want to reiterate, Seth, you could be up here, couldn't you? You know, because you have a great lineage as well, and the same with Linda, your wife. I want to reiterate that, but this is what they've chosen to do, and I'm all for that. How do you feel when your dad talks about the fact that, you know, the influence of godly thinking, of godly generations, has been in your family for six or seven generations, and here you are, you're the generation that, as it were, is walking the earth in youth with energy and all of that, and the baton, if you like, has been passed on to you. Do you feel that that's a great pressure, or is that a great blessing to you?
Yeah, well, it's definitely big boots to fill, but also it's quite humbling to think that so many generations have made the same decision, and now I'm just taking that next step, standing on giants. You know, there's that saying. So it's a humbling, but also a great honour. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, do you remember much about, say, your grandfather and his ministry, or what about your great grandfather? Did you know Jeff Wilson, your great grandfather? Did you know him at all?
No, I didn't know Jeff. I knew Margaret's.
Oh, okay.
Father. Yeah.
Wow, he was a great man.
He was a man of prayer. So he would have this massive list every day. He'd be praying for people, and so
Mr. Lynch.
Yeah.
Never called him by his first name. He was always Mr. Lynch.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. So you knew him.
Yeah. I knew him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, incredible. And what? Okay. So, you got your thoughts back together again? Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, one of the thoughts I had today was about family and about that heritage side of things. And well, how does that fit in with God? But actually, it's just so inherent in God. If you consider Abraham and the promises he made to Abraham, and went through right through his family. And so family and promises, covenant, is so inherent to God's nature. Mm. So today we have the opportunity to begin that ourselves, and perhaps to be celebrating in heaven, not perhaps, but we will be celebrating in heaven with our great, 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 great granddaughter. Have you thought of that? Or your great, great, great grandson. And the other thing I thought of is there's perhaps people that don't have biological offspring. But I know people in my own life who have been instrumental, and you call them auntie or you call them uncle. Those people that are in the church, and you really love them. And they become those kind of mums and dads to you. And so I think the challenge that I'm making to you is, how about thinking about that? Those people, those younger people that you might know who need a mum or dad beside them, who have godly beliefs, those are the people. And God, one of the stories I really like is is actually about a couple of women in the Bible, Naomi and Ruth. Naomi was a mother who had a daughter, Ruth, and she wasn't going to have any offspring apart from that. And again, God intervenes, and you read the story in Ruth, but the point I make is Ruth ended up having a baby as a result of what happened there, and you can read it, but the neighborhood woman started calling him Naomi's baby boy. So this woman that was without a son and without any offspring apart from Ruth was now had this son. And he, who did that son end up being the great-great-grandfather of? It was David, King David. And Jesus, of course, as it goes on. So I guess Ruth and Naomi in particular are in heaven celebrating, meeting these people that they never knew. They didn't know what would become of that boy. He became, and his offspring became King David. Wow. Mm. So what could your great-great-great-granddaughter or grandson end up doing?
Mm. Question for Jared. Jumping off that, obviously your dad is pretty fervent about this, pretty passionate. And Seth, I know you know your parents were too. Did they shove it down your throat? You know, did you feel that? One of the things that we're told is, you know, you can't shove it down their throats. What you've got to do is you've got to let them grow up and they'll make their own mind up when they get older. Mm. You know, you hear that a lot, don't you? Which is totally unbiblical, by the way. Totally unbiblical, and you'll hear about that soon. But how do you feel about that? What would be, number one, how did you feel about that? And number two, what would your...
Well, no, I didn't get the feeling of it being shoved down my throat at all. When I first gave my heart to the Lord, I was 8 years old, I was in church, and Pastor Nick... who Phil knows,
He's been here.
Oh, has he? Oh, cool. Yep. Yeah. So he preached a message, and at the end he said, you know, who wants to give their heart to the Lord? And so I think it was just a natural step for me. It wasn't, you know, my mum and dad saying, come on, you know, is it going to be this week that you finally decide or whatever? No, it was a natural decision that I took, and same with getting baptized as well, water baptized. It just felt the right step for me. So no, it wasn't. But it's about that, the coaching and the mentoring from my parents, about showing me how to live a good life. And so part of that was believing in Jesus and even the role models around me. You know, these were great people, and so I wanted to be like them. So that's what did it for me.
You found it inspiring. Yeah, you didn't choke on it. No. Okay, that's good. What are you going to do? I guess your plan is to have, you know, get married one day and have a family. What do you think? What's the approach that you'll take? I know that's a really difficult question.
Yeah. Yeah. Get there when we get there, I guess. yeah, sure. Yeah, I have family of my own, but also I can start working on it now, like. Dad said, you know, it's the younger ones that are below me. I can start. So I serve at Kids Church back in Hamilton. And so I'm already kind of doing that at on time, you know, teaching the young guys about God and about Jesus and about what it means to follow him. And so I've already, I guess, started there.
How many kids do you teach?
There's probably 30 on a Sunday. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, that's good. And so you're putting your life into them.
Yeah. Hang out with the rat bag boys that just want to run around.
Yeah, right. It keeps you young, huh?
Yeah. No, they're pretty fun.
Yeah, that's very good. Now, Ross, I know that you're passionate about your family and like you're on vacation with your family right now, so that kind of indicates to us how important that is. But you've also been involved in other things in the community. You've lived in Hamilton all your life. I don't think that you've ever desired really to live anywhere else. Maybe you have, I don't know. But obviously the Hamilton community is important to you. There's notable people that you know, that you talk about, that you know, they're part of the community. They're not part of the church. They're part of the community. So it seems to me that one of the aspects of this covenant that God has made with you and your family through all these generations, you believe that you're to outwork that in your community. It seems obvious to me.
Yeah, definitely. I run my own business as a software development business in Hamilton. We have 16 staff, and we serve a whole lot of hospitals throughout the country and in Australia, where we're trying to help healthcare get better for everyone. And so there's that. And then I also ran a training company, Community College, which Phil actually started back in 1984, I think it was. And I had the privilege of running that for some time. So whether it's in a commercial enterprise where you're, you know, running a business or something like that, or more like the community college environment, doesn't matter. Either way, you're serving the community in some way. And I think that goes beyond trying to make money or prosperity or those sort of things. What I do get a buzz out of is solving problems. And that's kind of what drives me in business sense, is solving problems. And being able to help people. You have a skill set that others perhaps don't, and they have skill sets that you don't, but you can help them and they can help you. So yeah, there's all that.
So one of the things that blesses me is when I look back on that particular city, there are people from your church scattered throughout the city, having an impact in the city, and not just your church, but many, many other churches in that city have people scattered throughout the city in influential places and not so influential places, and they're having a great impact. Is that something that you've seen? A simple thing, for example, when you guys built that church in its current location, yeah. They put a bus stop next to the church. They put a bus stop there. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's definitely happening. The current mayor of the city is a Christian, mm-hmm. Who, you know, we've known for quite some time, mm-hmm. involved in various ministries and things. So he's, yeah. So, yep. It seems to be.
You know, often we look at these situations like here we are here, not a large group of people, but we're here. And each one of you tomorrow will be scattered throughout your community. And have you ever thought, like he's saying, that you've been planted there on purpose by God? You're right where you're at, planted by God. Is that a philosophy that you hold to?
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, I certainly hold to that. God puts you in places that you may feel uncomfortable in, like I sometimes feel up the front of church.
Yeah.
I feel much more comfortable speaking to a group of people about business and stuff for some reason. It's strange.
Yeah, I noticed that when you started talking about leadership yesterday, all of a sudden you became bold and strong, and you know, you knew what you were talking about, kind of thing.
Yeah.
What about you, Jared? Do you feel you work for your dad? Mm. How's that?
Yeah, it's really good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really good.
And do you see yourself as part of as a person? Can I ask how old you are?
24.
Okay. So as a 24-year-old, do you just go to work to get through to 5 o'clock? Or do you see that you are doing something in the health industry, for example, that's benefiting an entire community?
Yeah, definitely the latter. Going there and being able to help people, you know, the clinicians solve problems and better the care for ultimately, you know, the patients is a big driver, but also I'm quite motivated with talking with people and going and meeting with people and helping them again. Probably what Ross, Dad's talking about is, you know, the solving the problems. So it's the talking with the people that is, yeah, a big motivator.
Yeah. Ross, yesterday you mentioned something about Romans chapter 12, and I'd like you to do that again if you would. because I like the idea of Christians, of these people, all of us here, leaving this place and going out into spread all over Philadelphia as problem solvers. I quite like that, you know. I'm going out into the community as a problem solver, not a problem maker, but a problem solver. God has given us that power, that grace, that ability by His Holy Spirit to be a problem solver, not a problem maker. How does that register with you? Resonate with you pretty good? Yeah. And God's got you right where He wants you to be. God's using you to solve problems. And then there's what you told us about yesterday. Romans 12 really hit me. It was good.
Right. Mm. Yeah. So Romans 12, 1, you might have heard it. In the Message version, it says, take your everyday walking around life and place it before God as an offering. So take your everyday walking around life. Now, that's just a physical thing. It's in your workplace. It's wherever you're, if you're at home, if you're in a rest home, if you're as a nurse or whatever the case may be. Place it before God as an offering. This is your spiritual act of worship. So how do you be super spiritual? Become just natural. Just be natural. Place it before God as an offering, though. Mm. So yeah, that's it's one of the verses I've really struck me and I try to live by. Place before God an offering. It goes on to say, do not be conformed by the patterns of this world. So thinking outside the box, on how to solve a problem and using God, that's not thinking in a pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you may test and approve what God's perfect will is for you. So yeah, there are some cool things in there.
So wake up in the morning and make an offering of your life to God because it is your spiritual act of worship.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
Thank you, guys.
All right, cheers.
Pastor Ryan, if you would come up and just pick up on it. And, yeah, thank you.
In just a few minutes, we're going to have all the kids' church and are going to come up here, and they're going to flood the stage, and we're going to pray for them, and we're going to actually take communion with them, because this is our mandate as the community of God, as the people of God. This is what we are here for, is to, kind of like what this picture is showing and illustrating, it's a transfer. And so we are a community of people who've been embraced and who have been captured by the love of God, the promises of God, the faithfulness of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, and it has now become our mandate to pass that on, to transfer it into the next generation. And that is an awesome, awesome privilege, and with great privilege comes great responsibility. This is our responsibility. This is our purpose for existence. And in Psalm 78 is where we're going to read real quick. Let me just share this with you. It says here, O my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I'm saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories that we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about His power and His mighty wonders. For He issued His laws to Jacob, and He gave His instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors. He commanded our ancestors, those who went before us. He commanded them to teach them to their children, so that the next generation might know them, even the children that not yet born. And they, in turn, will teach their children. So each generation should set its hopes anew on God, not forgetting His glorious miracles and obeying His commands. This is our mandate. This is who we are as the covenant community of God, people who have been bound to God and bound to each other by the blood. We're all in this together. This is the responsibility of all of us to transfer what God has done in our lives and hand it off to others. A few weeks ago, Pastor Phil and I were at a shop, and we were getting stuff for this projector that's projecting right now because we've had a lot of problems. Anyway, he introduced me to a guy who he've become good friends with in our community, and he's the projecting guy. And Pastor Phil was, the guy was asking me, what is your role in the church? Da, 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 da. And Pastor Phil says, oh, well, he's the lead pastor now. And the guy was just thrown back. He was baffled, and so he kind of inquired about that, and he said, you know, isn't he kind of young? Like this, that, what, that kind of stuff, you know? And he was baffled that I would be, you know, yeah. And so Pastor Phil interrupts him and he goes, no, you don't understand. This is what we do. This is what we do. And I want to, I loved when he said that because it just inspired me and it kind of encouraged me that this is what we do. We take what God has given us and we make it a point and a mandate and we take hold of it that this is who I am in God and this, my purpose is to transfer it into the lives of other people, to pass it on and to give it to the next generation. And so I want to ask you, who are you investing in? Who are you transferring what God has shown you in all your years, what God has revealed to you? Who are you transferring that over to? Who are you pouring into? Are you intentional in the way that you pass on the ways of God onto? And so what this passage is talking about here is a community response. That this is the response of the community people of God. And you first might think, well, that's the parents' job. That's the parents' responsibility to teach the kids the ways of God. And it is. First and foremost, that we pass this on to the next generation in our homes. But the Bible makes it very clear, not only here, but so many other places throughout Scripture, that God designed it so that we would be as a community of people pouring into each generation together. Like Ross was saying about having people, and Jared, they were saying they saw it modeled for them. And people invested in them, the aunts and the uncles in church. They saw it modeled before them. They saw people of God who lived their lives fully for God and gave them everything, and it inspired them. And so that's the kind of the charge and the challenge that we have in front of us this morning through the Word of God. That God set it up to be a community response where we're all involved in this together. And you know, one of the best things about the nation of Israel and how they taught the next generation, they were the community of God at this time, they were really great at making what they believe an everyday part of life. It was an everyday part of life. Pastor Phil was talking about how his dad would take him through the garden and through the hills and just say, this is a beautiful flower. This is the name of the flower. God made this flower. Or this rock or something like that. And I want to just say, Celeste, what you do with the kids downstairs is exactly in alignment with this. And I just want you guys to know that that's a lot of what Celeste and the Cornerstone Learning Center's philosophy is let the kids explore and teach him God along the way. Let it be just a part of everyday experience and show them this is where God is in this. This is where God is in this. This is where God is in this. This is what God says about this, you know? And so this is the way that we can do this as a community, but I want you to realize that this is our mandate, to make God a part of everyday experience. And so what I love is that God has designed it so that for us as parents, for Liz and I, it's not our responsibility alone, but to be honest, the responsibility is partly with you all as well. And I take joy in that because I know a lot of you, and I know most of you, and I know your hearts for God. And let me just say this with you know, just a little bit of boldness as these kids come up in just a few minutes. Each and every one of these kids, they need to see and they need to know the stories of God's faithfulness in your life. These kids that are about to come up, they need to hear about God's power in your life and what he's done in your life. My kids and these kids that are coming up, they need to learn how to serve God by watching you all serve God. These kids that are coming up, you can hear them right now. They're already coming up. They need to learn how to worship God with reverence and awe and fear because they're watching you demonstrated through your lives. They need to see faith and have their faith increased and grow by watching faith in action in your life. Faith is inspired in others when these kids see the community of God wrap around them and get up alongside of them and say, and take this responsibility seriously, you know? Don't shove it and cram it down their throat, but it's like grab them by the hand and say, hey, come with me. You know, the best way that you can point someone to make disciples, which is this is what this is talking about, is point somebody to Jesus. I don't have all the answers, but come along with me and I'll show you. I'm going in that direction. You're more than welcome to come with me if you want. Let's point people to Jesus. And that's why for us, church is not a club that we all are members of and that you can enjoy the amenities of it, but church is a partnership in which you and I are people who say, God, I'm going to give you all of me for the purposes of your will and to commit ourselves to carrying out the responsibility onto this next generation. Hi, Lori, how are you? you can go ahead and bring them on up and just start bringing them up to, and the worship team, I'm going to invite you guys on up as well. And so what we're going to do right now is church, yeah, you're excited. Come on, Grace. Come on, girl. I know you're excited too. What we're going to do is as a community, this is what we're going to do. We're going to, come on up here, guys. Come on up here. Come on up here. Hey, Anthony, Josh, can you guys move this table over here? Come on up here, guys. Come on up here with me. We are going to teach, we're going to take communion with these guys because we are in covenant relationship with them as we are in covenant relationship with God. We have been bound to these little kids. Look at this, man. Sonny, this way. Let's look this way, buddy. Yeah, let everybody see your cute little mug. Here it is. Come on, up here, Grace. Why don't you get up front? How about these little ones right up in front? John, turn around and look at everybody. Look at everybody. Everybody wave to them. All right, guys, hey, what we're going to do now is you're going to grab a piece of bread and you're going to grab a little piece of juice, okay, each of us. I'm going to take one, too. All right, and you just hold on to it in your hand and just for a second, okay? Nobody eat or drink it yet. We're going to do this together as a family. Who knows why we do this? Why do we do it? Because we love Jesus. That's exactly. You know why we love Jesus? Because he first loved us. And he showed us how much he loved us because, and he died for me and he died for you and he died for everybody in this room. And so Jesus said one day, he said, if you do this, if you take this bread and you drink this juice, I want you to remember what I did for you, all how much I love you. I want you to remember what I did. So when we're taking this, we're remembering what Jesus did for us, okay, because he loves us, all right? And so when we're doing this, we're saying, thank you, Jesus, for all that you did for my life, okay? And so we're just going to thank God for this. We're going to pray for it, and then we're going to have the bread together, okay? Father, we thank you so much for dying for each and every person in this room. We thank you, Lord, that your covenant is extended throughout the generations, and we celebrate you and thank you for that. And Lord, before us is an illustration of our purpose and what we have been mandated to do and to carry on this gospel. And Lord, I pray that you would renew a commitment within each and every one of us, Lord God, that this is why we live. This is our purpose. This is what you have called us to. Lord, I thank you for dying on the cross and for this bread that represents it. In Jesus' name. Okay, you guys can take this delicious bread. Go ahead and eat it. Mmm. It's good, isn't it? Okay. In just a second, after I swallow all this, mine's when we can drink up. Mine's when we just swallow. So this little cup, it represents the blood of Jesus, which means that what happened when he shed his blood on the cross, he died a little bit and blood came out of him. You know how yucky it is when blood gets out? You're like, whoa, you know? And his blood covers your life and it makes you white as snow. I know it doesn't make a lot of sense right now, but hey, we're declaring it right now in Jesus' name. All you need to know is that this blood of Jesus is the most powerful blood in the entire world. We're not going to drink blood. This is grape juice. And it represents blood, okay? So, yes. You knew it was juice because your Mimi brought it. Awesome. It's a good thing we don't drink blood. But Lord, we thank you for this blood that you shed for us. We thank you for this blood that you shed over every single one of these children up on stage. It makes it all possible. This is what seals us in that amazing covenant, and we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Okay, guys, you can take that juice together. Amen. All right, so what we're going to do right now is I've asked our youth pastor, Anthony, to pray for you guys, okay? So can all of you just bow your heads for just a moment? Hey, guys, church, would you stand with us? And would you please extend your hands out in agreement with us as Pastor Anthony prays for this next generation? All right, guys.
You guys ready to pray? You guys ready to pray? Okay. Let's go. Lord God, we thank you so much, God, for these amazing children. Lord, we know that they're amazing, God, because they're created in your image, God. And you've created them beautiful and perfect and amazing, full of hope and purpose. God, we pray now that you'd begin to activate in these children, Lord, more of you, a hunger and a desire to want to grow closer to you. Will you bless them this morning, God? We're so excited for the pastors and missionaries and youth pastors and worship leaders that are here on this stage, God. We're excited for how much you have for them, Lord, that you've called them into amazing things. You have such purpose for their lives. God, we thank you for all that you are, how much you love these children, Lord, that you care so much about every little thing that they do, Lord. Will you fill them, God, with more of you, Lord? Lord, it's so exciting to see these kids. We're so excited because we know that you have such amazing things for each and every kid on this stage. And that it's no mistake that they're in this church this morning, God. This is a chosen generation, Lord, that we're going to get to see do amazing things in your name and for you, Lord. Bless them right now, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's stand up.
All right, guys. Here we go. Right up here. Ready? The words are going to be right up here, hopefully. Right here it is. Hold on. Faithfulness, and I will rest in
promises are yes and amen. One more time, ready, everybody? All your promises.
And all your promises are yes and amen.
Thank you, Lord. We love you, and we praise you, and we thank you for everything. Be glorified in our lives, in Jesus' name. God bless you guys. Have a great week. The cafe is now open. If you would like some prayer up here, please feel welcome to come on up here, and we will minister with you. But if not, God bless you guys and have a great week. Amen.